Welcome to Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth, the podcast of Plymouth United Church of Christ. I'm Pastor David, and on behalf of the members of this congregation, thank you very much for joining us. May God bless you through these words, and may you know God's love through them. Now, the podcast.
Good morning. Welcome to Plymouth Congregational Church. For those who don't know me, my name is Lil Savage. And welcome. Come on in. Hello. I've missed church for a few Sundays. And I found the error of my ways this morning when I tried to get in and the door was locked. So just a hint, don't be gone too long. But I was here for all of the four Sundays of Advent, and I clearly remember Pastor David's definition of Advent as the season of anticipation when we look forward to the birth of Christ, to peace, joy, love, and hope. He described Advent as a time of expectation of good, and that was about as much of that sermon as I heard, because that phrase, that expectation of good, took me to an inner conversation where all my little voices are, and I was kind of lost to the rest of the sermon, because I was recognizing in that phrase my own spiritual practice of living in a state of expectation of good, of looking forward to that bright spot on the horizon, especially when we're caught up in some human misery of some sort. Now, you've all heard me say that I perceive myself as a spiritual being having a human experience, which is okay, except sometimes the human part gets really difficult to manage. And you've also heard me say that I know everything changes, nothing stays the same, and life can change in a heartbeat. But by expecting good things, I'm able to ride over the worst of even the worst times. So when I'm sick, I expect to be healthy. When I'm sad, I expect lightheartedness. When I'm discontented, I expect gratitude. When I'm heartbroken, I expect healing. And when I am numb with grief, I expect a surcease of sorrow. Now, does this practice of looking forward with the expectation of good make me a Pollyanna? Maybe. I've been accused of worse things. But I'm going to continue this spiritual practice because it helps me to keep moving forward through my life as a human. So, with your hearts and minds filled with expectation of good, please stand if you are able and join with me in the call to worship, and we will read this responsibly. God alone is our rock and our refuge. God's love for us is steadfast, unshakable, and forever. Trust in God, O people, at all times. We believe in the good news brought by Jesus, the bright, shining morning star that dispels the darkness. Let us worship God through word and song. With our lips and hearts, praise our loving God.
Continue our worship by coming to God with a prayer of confession, and do so knowing that God loves us, God calls us back, God is always has open welcome arms to welcome us back. So let us say together the prayer of confession. Forgiving God, we repent of all the ways that we turn from you. You call, but we do not listen. You show us your path, but we prefer our own way. You charge us to invite others to your table of friendship and love, but we keep silent. Forgive us, heal us, and lead us back to you, that we might show mercy to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this is the good news, that you are given new life through Jesus. Trust that good news and be comforted and be at peace, for in Jesus' name you are forgiven.
You are forgiven.
And may the peace of the Lord be with you all.
Also,
take a moment and share the peace of Christ with your neighbors. No, it's not you. What am I doing? Never mind.
All right. I led worship this morning at the Wisconsin Farmers Union had their annual meeting at the Plaza Hotel this morning, and I led worship there, did a different worship service, and I'm all confused. Where am I at? Are we at greetings?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Greetings. Greetings to you all in the love of Jesus, who invites us to follow him and to embrace and to enjoy God's love. Welcome to Plymouth United Church of Christ. I'm Pastor David. Good to see everyone here this morning and good to be back together. We have our annual meeting after worship, so please plan to stay for that. We'll have coffee and other drinks and some food and do the annual business of the church, so please stay for that. And as I mentioned, I was at the Farmers Union this morning, representing Plymouth there, leading worship for them, and had a little bit of a chance to talk about our street ministry as well and get a little bit more word out about Plymouth, and met some people and had a wonderful breakfast. And so that was good. So I was glad for the opportunity to be invited to go and bring Plymouth to the people there from all over the state that were gathered there. I don't know that we have... Oh, we're having the game day on Saturday, February, is that the 7th? Saturday, February 7th, we'll have part of the kind of the escape the winter doldrums and come here Saturday at noon, right? We'll have some food and we'll have a bunch of games, some board games, card games, whatever, and just gather around the tables and play some games together. And that's also a wonderful kind of event to invite your friends, invite anyone else that you know, bring some other children, bring some adults, whoever it is, and we'll just have a good afternoon of fellowship that day. And that'll be on Saturday, February 7th. Anything else we need to go over? You have another one? Oh, okay. Bring your favorite games with you. Very good. And bring food, or Women of Plymouth providing all the food? Okay. Women of Plymouth are providing the food for that, so thank you. Anything else? No? All right. Well, let us continue our worship then. We have a centering song here that Nancy will lead us in, and we have sung this before, so hopefully those of you that have been here before, sing a little bit louder, help those that maybe have not sung this before, and let us center our minds and our hearts to continue worshiping and hear God's word. So, Nancy.
The Old Testament lesson today is from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown." The people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animal shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to the Lord. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? Maybe God will relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it.
Thank you, Lily. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Mark. We read out of the Gospel of John last week, but we did the Gospel of Mark a couple of Sundays ago with the baptism of Jesus. And right after Jesus' baptism, he goes into the wilderness for a few days and then comes back. And when he comes back, we're into this this passage here. So this is Jesus right after he's come back from the wilderness and after John the Baptist has been arrested. And so hear now and listen to these words of Mark's gospel and listen and hear how God is speaking to you through them. "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.'
As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for people. As I thought about that this week, I've also had the other thought. Nets are dangerous. Nets are not particularly safe. I don't know if you've ever used one, but the other than, say, a net underneath a trapeze artist or something, nets are generally used to capture, not to help. And if you've ever used one, if you've ever fished with the net, even if it's a simple fishing boat, one of those nets that's on the stick that's easy to use, or if you've ever tried to use one of the larger nets casting it out, it's really easy to get tangled up in them. Either for you to get tangled up in them, or for your fishing tackle, or someone else, or something else, really easy to get tangled up in a net. And that's why they're so effective for fishing and for hunting and for trapping. They're almost impossible to escape unless you're really clever. And so this phrase, fishing for people, I mean, it's actually kind of a horrific idea if you take it at face value. Fishing for people, whether it be with nets or with a hook. If you seek people like you seek fish, nets are not very invitational. Come to my party. Or baits with hooks in them. That's not good hospitality. It's an interesting image. I don't want to fish for people, Jesus. That sounds really harsh. I don't want to trick them with a literal bait and switch or just trap them against their will. I don't want to do that. That's not being the church to coerce or to trap or capture. Not that Christianity hasn't tried it in the past, over the years. They've tried those approaches and unfortunately continues sometimes to do so. To use this fishing metaphor a little too literally, capturing entrapment. That word evangelism has a ring of coercion to it, of being forced or trapped or simply abused into a certain way of thinking. But I think that these men that Jesus was calling to knew that he wasn't talking quite so literally as that. He was using language that they knew. They were fishermen. They understood that language. I will teach you how to fish for men. I think they knew that he wasn't saying, come with me and I'll teach you how to treat your neighbor the same way that you treat these fish. That doesn't sound like the kind of thing that would be said by the guy who said, love your neighbor. He's talking about bringing people along on a journey of experiencing God, of coming into God's fellowship, coming into the community of love, of experiencing hope and love, of dignity, of gathering people. I think the way that a net might gather people, but not in a coercive or forced way, to gather people into that kind of a community, a net of safety, a net of love, fellowship, mutual help. It's a gentle net, and the bait does not have a hook in it, nor does it come with any strings attached. I think that's the kind of fishing that God, that Jesus is calling to be fishers of people. But do we listen? Do we listen to that call? Perhaps we hear the wrong thing when we hear that call to go be fishers. For we who are good and sensitive people who want to love our neighbors, who like to be kind, who don't want to be rude or overbearing, we who think that we should not force, or ensnare. Maybe when we hear Jesus is called to be fishers of people, we think of that more entrapment kind of fishing instead of the invitational. And I used to think that evangelism was pretty obnoxious, because so many of the evangelists that I saw and experienced were obnoxious. They were the very forceful, loud type of people. I saw in their methods, that shouty, screamy, judgmental method that I saw on TV, or even occasionally would literally see the guys on the street corner doing their evangelism, shouting declaratives, attempting to convince people to believe in their way in order to avoid eternal punishment. You know, believe and be saved. That never caught with me, because I had always thought, and still do, we don't need to believe to be saved. We're already saved. We're already loved by God. God's love doesn't depend on whether we believe in some certain way or do some certain thing. So that wasn't attractive to me, or some of these methods about come to my church and get the proper truth. No church has all the truth. Or the proper truth. God is too big for any of us to speak for God entirely. Or that old repent for the end is near kind of evangelism. And it seemed like in these methods that I saw, there was nothing of value in the evangelism except the selfish gain of the evangelist. Either more money in the offering plate, or the ability to brag to their friends about how many people they saved, or more fish simply to consume or leave on the beach or sell to the next person that comes along. There was an abusive side to that, but that's not evangelism. Trying to convince people why they should believe, or saying that you ought to believe to avoid something. And I don't think that was Jesus' way of evangelism either. You know, in the last year especially, I've been working with a personal coach and reading about evangelism, that scary word. Now, I've learned that maybe what we ought to, we can do a couple of things. We can reclaim that word for ourselves, that word evangelism, because evangelism just means to tell the good news, to bear the good news. That's all it is, to be the speaker of good news. But that word also has is such a loaded word that maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not worth reclaiming, or maybe a slow reclamation, but I think a much better way to think of it is the invitation. Not to be evangelistic, but to be invitationalistic, or however you want to spin that word. Invitationalism. To invite. You know, that's what Jesus did. He invited people. He didn't force people or coerce them. He invited them. He says, follow me. It's just this invitation. Follow me. There's no coercion there. He doesn't say follow me or die, or follow me or some other punishment. It's just follow me. And he calls us to say the same, to invite people into this new world, this new way of being. Follow me and experience God's realm of love. Follow me and experience God's compassion, God's mercy. Follow me and know that God loves you. But it's not about avoiding God's wrath, but inviting into God's love, into God's community. You know, Jonah, in the story that we read, is doing the kind of avoid wrath evangelism. He goes to Nineveh and says, repent or God is going to destroy you. I don't know, that's a good method. Repent and avoid God's wrath. That's a weaponized kind of evangelism. But Jesus' evangelism calls his disciples to go fish for people, not to avoid God's wrath, but to invite them into the love that's already there. to invite them into a community of love, and to stop living in fear of losing that love, to stop living in fear of God's wrath or God's punishment by understanding that God loves them and wants us all to be whole and to have dignity and to live without guilt or without shame, to be the whole people that God made us to be. That's being invitational, spreading the good news by inviting people to experience it and telling people about it. And being invitational requires no skill, it requires no talent. All Jesus did was say, "Follow me." Or as he encountered people, he healed them or fed them, listened to their stories. That's being invitational as well. Tell me your story. I'll listen. It's a lot of what we do in our street ministry, listening to stories, inviting people into a relationship. That's the good news. That doesn't take any particular skill and talent, because we invite people to things all the time. Birthday parties, dinner parties, invite people to a movie, invite them over for dinner, invite them for an afternoon of watching TV, whatever. Inviting people. We invite people all the time. And sometimes people say no, but we don't stop inviting. But it seems like when it comes to church things, sometimes we get that first no and stop. Or we're so afraid of getting a no that we don't invite. Or we're so afraid of appearing obnoxious that we don't want to invite. But if it's just an invitation, come and experience. That's not so bad. You know, we've been growing this congregation, inviting people in, and we want to continue to grow it more. We've got a wonderful fellowship here in community, doing good things in Eau Claire, and that takes invitation. And that's all it takes, is to simply invite people. That's you and me to do the invitations. And also our website is a kind of invitation and entry, our Facebook page, our emails, our ads in the newspaper, whatever we have out there. Our sign at the end of the road is a kind of invitation saying, here we are. Come in. But that personal invitation, so important. And so in 2015, we're still at the beginning of the year 2015 and looking forward to this next year. Let us be fishers of people, inviting them into this community of fellowship and love. You know, the game day is a great entry point to invite people. Say, come and play some games with us. Or we'll have our Lenten Wednesday lunch and suppers again this year. That's a nice informal fellowship around the table eating. It's a nice easy thing to invite people to. That's my challenge to everyone this year, to all of us in 2015, to be invitational. I've said that a lot in the last few months, and I'm going to probably keep saying it, but just be invitational. Be fishers of people, inviting people into this community of love and fellowship where we feed one another and where we are trying to make the world a more loving place. I think that's a pretty easy sell in some ways, to invite people into that. Come into our community where you'll be cared for like we care for one another. You'll be prayed for like we pray for one another. You'll be fed like we feed one another. Like we feed people on the street and care for them on the street, or care through our St. Francis food pantry and the quilting and everything else that we do. It's all about listening to Jesus' call to follow and to do what Jesus asks us to do, which is simply to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to take care of the poor, and to love one another. So let that be what we're about in 2015, be fishers of people and invite people. Be welcoming and open to all those who are around us so all may know and come into understanding that God loves them and that we're all valued. We're all important to God. We all matter to God. And we're all loved by God. Amen. Thank you.
to God some of what we have received so that the mission and ministry and work of the church may continue. So our morning offering will now be received.
Please remain standing and join with me in the prayer of dedication. Merciful God, you have saved us for a purpose. We dedicate these gifts to you, our lives to you, that you will make us fishers of people. Amen.
Please be seated. Now pray for one another and for the world and for the church and ask if there are any joys or concerns I'd like to pray for this morning. And I am going to offer one joy on behalf of a couple who are usually here, but not here today. Larry and Barb are now grandparents. Stacy had a baby boy this week. So they're Kleiser down in Madison with them. And baby Max asked for some prayers. He had a few respiratory issues. Stayed in the hospital, but went home last night. So Max, they named the boy Max. He is home now, and Barb sent me an email letting me know, kind of keeping me posted and asking for prayers for him about his respiratory problems and also joy at the birth and that they're all together. And if you're on Facebook, if you know Barb on Facebook, she posted a couple pictures, beautiful picture of her with Max and a wonderful picture of Larry holding him, sitting with Susie. Also as well, very cute little baby. Any other joys or concerns I'd like to pray for this morning? Lily.
I have a concern about a young man named Paul who is trying to survive brain cancer that has spread.
Okay, a young man named Paul suffering from brain cancer. George.
A former student of mine named Jacob, who was, has Duchenne's muscular dystrophy and has had pneumonia. He's home now, so they think he's survived this, but still not out of the woods yet.
Okay. And his name is Jacob?
Jacob.
Okay. Suffering from muscular dystrophy. Okay. Mary.
I have a joy. Last night, a granddaughter who was born yesterday, and they, her middle name is the same as my husband's first name, who died about 4 months ago.
Oh. Okay. So, granddaughter? All right. And what's her name? Okay. Mason?
Yeah.
Okay. So Mason Dana, is that the, okay. Huh. Oh, what a nice honor to Dana there. That's, congratulations. Nancy. College students?
Going home today.
Going home today. Okay.
Back to college.
Oh, back to college. Okay. I didn't think the semester ended already. All right. Yeah. All right. Going back to school. Very good. I've been up just long enough today. That was all right. We're good. Classes start Monday for you, George. Is that?
Yeah.
All right. And Charlene.
A friend of mine, Joanie, is in the hospital. They're not sure if it's her lungs or her heart yet.
Okay. All right. And that's your friend, Joanie?
Joanie.
Or, okay, Joanie. In the hospital, very good. Anything, any other joys or concerns this morning? All right, well, then let us be together in prayer. God of life and God of love, we pray to you this morning in thanksgiving and praise for all that you are, for your presence in our lives. For all the goodness we experience and the blessings that we know. We give you thanks for sunlight and growth. Give you thanks for water and wind. And for the deer that we saw at the window this morning and for the birds that entertain us. Even in the midst of winter, still your signs of life are around us, reminding us that there is always hope, always some good to look forward to, and even good to see around us in the here and in the now. We pray for your church all around the world as we spread the good news of your love and invite people in to know it and to share it. And we pray especially for this congregation, for Plymouth, that you continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit and bless us and strengthen us, inspire us into invitation, and that your Holy Spirit come to all who suffer, who yearn for a place of fellowship, all who want to follow Jesus and would like a place to do that. Ask that you guide them here and that they be welcomed and loved once they arrive. And bless all the ministries that we do here in Eau Claire and all the ministries of all your churches around the world as we work to relieve suffering, to relieve hunger and poverty, and to bring people a sense of dignity and a sense of belonging, to know that they are loved. May your church remain ever honest to your vision and be ever faithful to your call to follow. And we offer you the joys that are in our hearts, especially for baby Max, born to Stacy, and Peter, grandson of Barb and Larry. Give you thanks for his birth and for the joy of
new parents and new grandparents. We lift up to you also his respiratory problems, that he get over them soon and that his doctors are able to help, and we give you thanks that he is now home and doing okay. And we give you thanks also for the birth of granddaughter Mason Dana to Mary. Thank you for that new life and that family. May both babies always be loved and grow up in families that are nurturing, healthy and whole and loving. And we know, Holy One, that not all are in loving or healthy families, and some have no families at all. And so we pray for all who are alone, all who go unloved, all who suffer at home or suffer from their family. We pray for all around the world who suffer violence, poverty, or malnutrition, or lack of health care. We pray for all the struggles in the world, that people may find ways to peace. We lift up the Japanese journalist killed this week in the nation of Japan as they struggle while another, their citizens, is held hostage. We pray for all our own people who face danger, all of our soldiers and diplomats around the world, trying to bring peace, those who are prisoners. And we offer you our prayers for those who are closer to us. We pray for Paul, the young man trying to survive his brain cancer. Pray for Jacob, suffering from his muscular dystrophy. Pray for Dick and his continued health issues. Pray for Joni, who is in hospital and doctors trying to figure out exactly what is wrong. Pray for health and wholeness for all, for good doctoring, for a sense of peace, and that they know that they are in your loving hands, that they feel your loving touch upon them, and your healing presence. And we pray for all of our college students who go back to school this week and start a new semester, that they get back safely and they go back with good energy, with a desire to learn and a dedication to study. And lastly, God, we come to you in the silence of our own prayers to say those prayers we are afraid to say out loud or cannot find the words to speak. Hear us in our silence. We offer you all these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who calls us to follow and calls us to invite others to come with us, and who also taught us to pray to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you're able to stand for the hymn, please do. Benediction, what I'd like you to do, we've done this a few times, face the middle, kind of look toward the middle, and this side, look at that side, and say this benediction to one another, and let's say it all together. May the God of second chances renew your sense of call and inspire you to go out and share the good news of forgiveness and hope. Amen. Amen.
And that is the good news for this day and for all days. Thank you again for listening to the Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth podcast. If you are in the Eau Claire area, we especially invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. And I invite you also to check out our website at pcucc.com for upcoming events and special worship services. From Plymouth United Church of Christ, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this is Pastor David. Thank you for spending this time with us. May God bless you.